Thank you, Kathy, for that powerful song. And I don't know about anybody else, but Kathy, I think you're a rock star. Amen. That's right. Amen. We certainly appreciate Kathy. And Scripture says that we're supposed to be shining stars. And so all of us, we need to shine bright for the Lord. And so certainly appreciate that song, Kathy. But not only that, it brings back many memories for me. Reminds me of one of my spiritual heroes, Dottie Mosley, which was our pastor's wife there at Plug Run. And she was also my youth leader. And so she invested a lot in me, and I think a lot of her, and that was her favorite song. And she had a beautiful singing voice, and she would sing that at times at church, and just a powerful, powerful hymn of the church. Well, praise his name. Dean mentioned that in this season, a little bit about depression, and so wanted to share with you that next week, Lord willing, we're going to start a sermon series on depression. I am no psychologist or doctor, but I've been reading a lot about depression, and that's weighty stuff. And so we're going to take a few Sundays and talk about depression. And the truth is, every one of us at some point will face, even if it's seasonal depression that comes in February, but passes. You ever been that person who sat down in the chair and said, "I'm so tired of these ugly gray days. I wish the sun would shine." Well, that's a little bit of seasonal depression. And so we've all faced that at least at some point in our life, but there's maybe even some of us here this morning that that struggle with depression. And so I believe that the Word, God has some things to share with us, and I'll do my best, Lord willing, to share those things with you in the next couple weeks. And so you be praying for me as I wade through a lot of information and stuff so that I can just be as honest and as I can with you over the next few weeks as we talk a little bit about depression. And we know the Lord will come alongside and will help. And I believe it'll be very beneficial to us as we wade through January and February. And I've always been a snow guy, but I'm ready for it to warm up at least a little, at least get into the upper 30s or low 40s. But nonetheless, we know the Lord is faithful, and He'll continue to be faithful to us. We've been thinking and talking over the last several weeks about the outward-focused church. In fact, the board had our annual board retreat last weekend, and the board retreat is not really what I would call. It's kind of a contradiction of terms. It's really not a retreat. We don't. Well, there's times we've went elsewhere and stayed overnight, but it's really a fancy term for a working weekend. So when you hear board retreat, we're having fun. Christians have fun. When Christians gather, they have fun. But in our board retreat, we did meet on Friday night. We did share a fellowship meal together. And then we spend a little bit of time in fellowship. And I have some prepared questions that we talk about. And some of them are funny. And it's amazing what you begin to learn about people and how unique you are, all of us are, how God designed us and made us. And then we ask some really serious questions. Questions like, what would be on your gravestone? What would you want written on your gravestone for everybody else to read? Those are some unique answers. You ponder that sometime and think about how you want to be remembered by the words on your gravestone. It was one of the questions we dealt with. But then we come in on Saturday and we talk about some really serious stuff. We talked about evangelism in the early church, the first 300 years, And then we talked about being an outward-focused church, and we talked about some outreach-type ideals and stuff. And so on our minds, at least the leadership of the church, and hopefully on yours, because 2 weeks ago we shared with you a Great Commission stuff. And last week, Dan, as he came in, Dan shared with us in that board retreat. And Dan shared with you about being an outwardly-focused church. And this morning I'm going to share with you about an outwardly-focused church. You might say, why in the world have we talked 3 Sundays about being an outwardly focused church? Why do we do that? Because it's absolutely important. I'm here this morning because somebody along the way at Plug Run was concerned about me. You're here today because somebody was concerned about you. Somebody invested in your life, and hopefully people still are investing in your life. And so we too must be an outwardly focused church, and so that becomes very important. And so what does it mean when we talk about an outwardly focused church? It simply means we're thinking about the people outside the walls of the church. We talk about that's really what it comes down to, is that we think about the people out there. Not that we forget about the people in here, because we still love one another, we still encourage one another, we still help one another, we still do all those things, and we're still concerned about the church and everybody in it. But it's really about thinking about the people that are outside the walls of the church. And so for us to begin to understand that question, I would like us to really begin to think this morning about being an outward-focused church. Jesus intended, I believe, from creation, that the church was to have an outward focus. Truth is, too often we get consumed by what's happening inside the walls. If we're not careful, we can forget about those and what's happening outside the walls. And so this becomes very important to us, so that we remember those outside. We must be an outwardly focused church. So to help us fully grasp this concept, and I have to be honest with you, I think we really have to wrestle with this a little bit, so that we're reminded that we need to be thinking about others. We need to be thinking about our neighbor, and the one down the street, and the one in the hospital, and the one that's struggling with depression, whatever it might be. We have to wrestle with that a little bit. And so to get a hold of this concept this morning, we're going to consider the Great Commission from John. And we find that in John chapter 20, verses 19 through 20. And some of the things I'm sharing with you are some of the things that I shared in our devotional thought at the board retreat with the board. And because I believe it's important for you to know as much as it is for the leadership of the church, because we all have personal responsibility in regard to this thought of being outwardly focused. So let's take our Bibles, John chapter 20, verse 19 this morning. Appreciate if you'd stand for the reading of the Word. John chapter 20, verse 19. These are the words of Jesus. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled, for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. So Jesus said to them again, "Peace to you." Catch these next few words that Jesus shares with the disciples. As the Father has sent me, I also send you. I'm going to back that up for just a minute. Verse 21. Jesus said to them again, "Peace to you. As the Father hath sent me, I also send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit." Join us in a word. Dear precious Father, Lord, as we're gathered this morning, we're so thankful for the many blessings that you've blessed us with and how you've touched our lives and how you're moving and working in and through us. And Lord, we continue to ask you to do that very thing. We ask that you would settle this morning in such a powerful and wonderful way on the heart and mind of your people. And Lord, this morning that we could wrestle with this thing of being an outward focused church. And Lord, we would take a corporate responsibility and we would take a personal responsibility, Lord, and that we would truly touch the lives of others. And so Lord, for that to happen, we need you to come. We need you to move on us. Give us clarity of mind and heart this morning. I pray that your words would well up in us this morning, Lord, and that we would have a clearer view than we've ever had before of this need of being an outward-focused church and getting involved in the lives of others. And so, Lord, help us this morning. And Lord, as we share the words that you've laid on our heart, I ask that you would just come and anoint us. Allow us to come under your anointing, Lord, to be able to preach your words to your people. And Lord, this morning, we just ask for a move of the Holy Spirit upon us in a powerful way. For we ask in your precious name, amen. You may be seated this morning. So as we begin to think about the outward-focused church, the church that's thinking about other things beyond the walls of the church, thinking about the people out there in the community and our surrounding community and all the hurt and all the things that are going on out there, I believe that the outward-focused church begins with the Great Commission. Because that's where Jesus comes to the disciples, and we have that recorded in different scriptures, but comes to the disciples and basically says to them that you need to go out there and you need to get involved in the lives of others. You need to teach them and make disciples and so on and so forth and get involved in their life. And so, Great Commission. And of course, John chapter 20, verse 19 through 22 is a Great Commission passage. When we refer to Great Commission, we're saying this is what Jesus told the disciples they need to do. This is what Jesus is telling us as disciples, as Christians, as believers today, is telling us what we need to do as a church. We have a corporate responsibility as a church and a personal responsibility as believers. And so this is where Jesus is sharing with them, this is what you do. And so John is a Great Commission passage. Usually when we think about Great Commission, we think about Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 through 20, which is the very passage I shared with you 2 weeks ago. And it shares with us, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Well, that's often the passage we go to when we talk about Great Commission. What is the church supposed to be doing? What are we as believers supposed to be doing? We usually go to Matthew. But I want us this morning to genuinely consider John's passage, because it is a bit different, as you've seen in the reading, than the Great Commission passage in Matthew. Matthew tells us what to do. Go. Make disciples. Baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach them what I've taught you. And I'm going to be with you to the end of the age. Matthew simply says, this is what you do. John, in his Great Commission passage, in what Jesus shares, is totally different. It doesn't tell us, in a sense, what to do. It tells us how to do. Sometimes we know what to do, but we don't understand how to do. Many times when you have your to-do list for the day, you say, I know I need to do this, but I don't even know where to begin. And sometimes at the end of the day, the to-do list is still the to-do list for tomorrow. Unfortunately, because we didn't begin. And unfortunately, that happens in the church too. We know what we're supposed to be doing, but sometimes we don't know how to do it, or even where to begin. And often we need to be reminded. All of us do. Yeah. Even your pastor sometimes needs to be reminded. Now, there's a lot of things happening in the church, but there's a whole lot of things happening outside the church too. And we need to be reminded. And so John tells us how. How do we accomplish this? Well, Jesus says, this is how you accomplish this. As the Father sent me, I also send you. I don't know about you, but you almost have to take a deep breath and step back for a minute. As the Father sent me, Jesus, Savior, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, God of creation, Messiah. The list goes on and on and on. Cross of Calvary, raised from the dead, ascended to the Father, sits at the right hand of God. The literal incarnation of God in heaven on earth. Jesus. We get Jesus, right? Okay. Do you get this next statement? As the Father sent me, I also send you. Have you swallowed hard yet? That's a powerful statement. I don't know about you, but you have to wrestle with that a little bit. You have to struggle with what is Jesus talking about? Because there's no way under heaven I am Jesus. I don't have that power. I don't have that knowledge. I don't particularly have that anointing. I've not sat at the right hand of the Father. I'm not the incarnation of God in the world. I'm none of that. Sometimes it's hard to get my feet on the floor in the morning. Come on now, you can shake your head. I'm struggling just to get through life, and I am supposed to go into the world as Jesus went into the world? Yep. That helps a lot, doesn't it? And so, we have to ask ourselves an important question, because we know this morning that we are not Jesus. Is there anybody here that thinks they're Jesus? Just checking. If you did, I want to talk to you for a few minutes, if that's okay. You might have some insights that I need to know, and I might need to tell you that you're, anyway, you know what I mean. We have to ask a serious question. How was Jesus sent? What was Jesus' mission? Well, immediately we're going to say, well, you know, he was sent for the cross of Calvary to, you know, to die there and raise again so that he could be the Savior of the world. And so, yes, he was sent to redeem the world. I understand that. But when I say ask that question, how was Jesus sent? I want us to think about his life. How did he live while he was here? What did he do? Because it's what he did is what I believe Jesus is saying to us today as the church at Dover Hill, as a believer, when he says, as the Father sent me, so send I you. And so Jesus, as he always does, helps us out tremendously here. Because in Matthew chapter 20, in verse 28, Jesus says, just as the Son of Man did not come, remember, as the Father sent me, he did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. So if we ask ourselves, well, how did Jesus come? What was his mission? His mission was one to be one of service. John Stott, tremendous author in the Christian church, says, now he sends us, he says, as the Father had sent him, therefore our mission, like his, is to be one of service. We're to be servants, not saviors, not God incarnate, not the Christ on the cross. Or the Jesus who walked out of the grave. But servants. What we'll discover is that Jesus fed the hungry. He healed the sick. He comforted the hurting. He forgave sin. Forgiveness. He felt their pain. He was involved in their lives. Now, as we ponder that question, we're supposed to go as Jesus. Believe it or not, we can feed the hungry. That's what Jesus did. We can pray for the sick. We can comfort the hurting. We can lead people to Jesus. We can sympathize with their pain. Sometimes we understand their pain because we've walked that road before. You ever wonder why we go through the things that we go through? You might even ask the Lord, why is this happening to me? Because somewhere down the road, somebody's walking that same road and you can walk beside them and say, I remember when. This isn't the end of the road. And so we ask that question. As the Father has sent me, so I send you. Jesus is sending us to get involved in the lives of others. Outward focus. The Great Commission is an outward focus passage. It tells us to get involved in the lives of others that we might be able to share Jesus with them. It's the very essence of prayer, care, share, empower. You've heard me say that a lot. You're going to hear me say that a lot more. How we get involved in the lives of others is through prayer, care, share, empower. How we remain focused, outward focused as a church is through prayer, care, share, empower. It's the very essence of it. Yet, if we're going to get involved in people's lives like Jesus did, and that's what He told us to do, we're sent as He was sent, it requires a sense of passion. A passion for the unsaved, for the outsider, those that are not among us, or not of us. It requires passion. Are you passionate about something? You're not passionate about anything? Sure you are. I bet you can tell me what I'm passionate about. If you know me at all, that's not hard to figure out. I'm passionate about worship and church and all that too, but fishing is something people can relate to. Many of you can relate to. I'm passionate about that. I don't do that as much as I'd like to. If I did as much as I'd like to, that probably wouldn't be healthy for me or anyone else in my family for that matter. But I'm passionate about fishing. You step in the front door of my house and it won't take you long to see something you usually don't see. Very obviously in my living room, you're going to think I'm a hoarder, just being honest, there's probably 30 or 40 fishing poles. Some, you know, you got to have priorities, right? Now, I didn't get all those yesterday. I've been working on that for a long time. I determined a long time ago I'm going to stop buying cheap junk. And the Lord has blessed me. Kathy saying the eye is on the spirit. I want you to know how important you are to Him. And all those outside the church are to Him. If you would have asked me years ago if I would have 30 or 40 quality fishing rods in my house, I'd have said, you're crazy. It was hard enough to get a Shakespeare from Walmart. But over the years, the Lord had His eyes on me. I'll never forget when I was at Gander Mountain, and before they went out of business, they was like 5 minutes from my house. That was good stuff. When we lived in Reynoldsburg. And I would go in there 2 or 3 times a week. And I was there one Saturday afternoon, and I was looking at the fishing rods. And something caught my eye. There was these orange stickers. I think God created clearance. I've become a clearance guru. Because 90% of all my fishing stuff, I bought on clearance. And I looked at that fishing rod. In fact, there was three of them there. And I looked at that fishing rod, and I looked at that fishing rod, and for fishermen, it was a Fenwick Iron Eagle. The tag on it says $109. That ain't happening. I hate to go to the grocery store and pay $109. I ain't paying $109 for a fishing rod. Remember, I'm passionate about this. Often where we spend our money is where we're passionate. That's something to think about too. That's another sermon for another time. But the little orange tag said $9. Talk about a God moment. I was so concerned, I took it to the person at the desk and said, "Is this $9? He said, "Yeah, it's $9. You know who owns three Fenwick Iron Eagle fishing rods? I do. Why? Because God cares and is interested in what I'm passionate about. I could go on and on and on about being passionate about fishing. I get excited when I talk about Georgian Bay and Minnesota and water and boats, and boy, I get excited. You can see that. We should be that passionate. Whatever you're passionate about, we should be that passionate about the outsider and the unsaved. Yep. Because Jesus was passionate about the outsider. Jesus was passionate about the lost. Those who were outside the relationship with the Father. And so Jesus was passionate about the lost and the outsider. Matthew chapter 9 verse 36 shared with us. I love this passage. But he saw the multitudes. That's the people. Repeat after me. People. One more time. People. He saw the multitudes. He was moved with compassion for them because they were weary and scattered like sheep having no shepherd. Jesus was compassionate about those that was outside the fold, outside the walls of the church, outside of a relationship with the Father. In fact, he was so passionate about it that the scripture says that he was moved with compassion. I want you to understand that moved with compassion is beyond excitement. I get excited about fishing and fishing rods and fishing reels and fishing lures and fishing this and fishing that. Sometimes begging that we should stop talking about fishing. But I want you to understand when Jesus, the scripture said Jesus was moved with compassion, was far greater experience than my passion about fishing. It's that same passion that took Jesus Christ to the cross of Calvary. He was so passionate about people that he was willing to lay down his life to serve. In fact, scripture says, you have no greater love than this, that you'd be willing to lay down your life for your friends. People say, oh, that's easy to say. That's what Jesus said. And guess what Jesus did? He just didn't say it. He did it. That's the type of passion that we're talking about that Jesus had. He has that passion for you. Well, that's a lot to take in for a moment. He cares about you today, where you are in life. He cares about where your neighbor is and what's going on in their life. He cares about all the people around the church. He cares about all the people in the church. He cares about all the people outside of the church. With deep passion. He was simply moved with compassion. You might say, why? Why was he so moved with compassion? Scripture says because they were weary and they were scattered. They were like lost sheep, if I could say. That's relevant with our passage. Because he said, like sheep having no shepherd, they were just wandering around. I don't know about you, but as you look around our community and consider our culture and see the news, there's a lot of people that are weary and scattered. There was a day that we were weary and scattered. And the truth is, today we might even be in the walls of the church and still weary and scattered. We have to ask ourselves an important question today. Are we, as a church, and personally, passionate about the lost, the unsaved, and the outsider? Does our heart skip a beat when we see that person who is struggling, weary, like we do when we step into Bass Pro Shop in wonder and awe? I use that because it's relevant to me. Or when we go to Hobby Lobby or Joann's. Some people can relate to that. Something happens. When we see people, does that happen? Are we moved with compassion? Is there a burden on our hearts for the outsider, the people that are not among us? Oh, church, we need to have an outward focus, not just as a church, but also as an individual. And we need to remind ourselves often. And I'll tell you why. I'm going to be telling on myself. There's times there's somebody on my heart and mind and I'm thinking about them. I say, you know, I need to give them a call. See if they're doing okay. And that's on Tuesday morning. Off on Monday. Well, I'm off every day. Anyway. Some of you got that. But on Tuesday, and I make those notes and say, you know, I need to call that person. And then Friday afternoon, as I'm walking out the door, I think, I didn't call them. That's frustrating. How often do we not notice others who we should have noticed? Look at what Jesus says in Mark chapter 2, verse 17. When Jesus heard it, he said to them, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." Remember I said Jesus' intent for the church was to be outward focused? Jesus here is saying, I didn't come for the righteous. Now, I'm not saying that Jesus doesn't care about you because Jesus cares about you. You've got to keep this in context. The Pharisees were talking church stuff. Stuff that really didn't matter in the grand scheme of things. But Jesus said, I didn't come for that reason. I came for the outsider. The one that is not in a right relationship with the Father. That's why I'm here. Ultimately, we were created to worship God. The church is organized to share the love of Christ with the world. With the lost, the outsider, the hurting, the weary. Consider his instructions in Matthew chapter 9, verse 37 through 38. Then he said to his disciples, this follows that earlier passage I shared with you where he was moved with compassion. A few verses later he shares this. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest truly is plentiful. A lot of people weary and scattered. Not only in his day, but in our day. The harvest truly is plentiful. Notice the problem. But the laborers are few. Not a lot of people passionate about the weary and scattered. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Not only do we need to be passionate, but we need to act. Jesus told his disciples, there's a problem here. There's a lot of people that are weary and scattered. There's a lot of people that are hurting in pain. But the laborers are few. Because the laborers are few, we need to pray. Prayer. Does that sound familiar? Jesus said the first thing you do in regard to an outwardly focused church and an individual is pray. Sound familiar? Earlier, there's four things that's going to help us to remain outwardly focused. You know what the first one was? Tell me, what was it? Prayer. Prayer. Oh, church, we need to be praying for workers. But we also might need to consider that we might be that worker. We might be the one that gets involved in that particular individual's life. Just as Jesus did. Jesus was passionate about the unsaved and the outsider. And so therefore, this morning, we have to ask ourselves a question. We have to ask ourselves a second. This is the second question we have to ask ourselves. Who will be Jesus to them? Jesus came to get involved in the lives of the unsaved and the outsider, the outcast of society. And so who will be Jesus to them? Who's going to get involved in their lives, in their mess? Have you ever been in a mess? Sometimes we still get ourselves involved in a mess. Every now and then I step back and say, how did I get involved with this? I have more projects than you can count, I guarantee you. And you probably have just as many as I do. And you step back every now and say, what did I get myself into? But you know, there's a lot of people out there who've gotten that spot and they can't get out of it. They're in a mess. Jesus is concerned about those people. We should be concerned about those people. Who will be Jesus to them? Who's going to get involved in their lives? Another question. We have lots of questions this morning. Who is them? If we're going to get involved in their lives, who is their lives? If we're going to be Jesus to them, who is them? Them is the unloved, the lonely, the broken, the weary, the scattered, the hurting, the poor, the rich, our family, our loved ones, our neighbors, our co-workers. And the list would go on. The lost. The outsider, the unaccepted. The sick. That's them. Those are the same people that Jesus saw and moved with compassion. Because of their circumstances. One more question. How can we be Jesus to them? How do we do that? I believe that we can do that on a personal level because we have personal responsibility. Okay? We can never forget that. We often think, well, the church is going to do that. When we're talking, getting involved in the lives of other people, it is a personal responsibility as well as a corporate or church responsibility. Remember 2 weeks ago we shared in Acts, you will be my witnesses? Choice. This isn't a choice. It's a privilege. Jesus chose us. Be shining stars, rock stars, Kathy. How do we do that? Well, we do that by, remember what Jesus said? As the Father sent me, so send I you. How do we do that? This is how. Help me. Prayer. That's how we do it. How do I know that works? Because it's biblical. What? Yes, it is. You know how Jesus ministered? I'm not going to believe this. Prayer, care, share, empower. I'm going to hurry. Time is slipping from us, and I know. But this is important stuff. If you went to John chapter 17, you don't have to turn there this morning, but I encourage you to check it out. John chapter 17, the whole chapter, you're going to find Jesus doing something. You know what it is? Prayer. He prays for three things. He prays for himself, for his disciples, and those that are going to become believers. Jesus prayed. You're also going to find, if you know anything about Jesus, and I hope you already know this, but Jesus cares. He's very concerned about you and about those that are weary and scattered. He cares. That's that Matthew passage, chapter 9, verse 36. But when he saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion for them because they were weary and scattered like sheep having no shepherd. He cares. You're also going to find that Jesus also shared. That's what he did. Matthew 9, 35. Then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, healing every sickness and every disease among the people. You know anything about the life of Jesus? He was always sharing with people. Yeah, you also find that Jesus empowered. John 17, 18. As you sent me into the world, I have also sent them into the world. As the Father has sent me, so send I you. I'm empowering you. This is your job now. Your responsibility. Matthew chapter 28, 18 through 20. The Great Commission passage. Go therefore and make disciples. The passage I shared with you today, John chapter 20, verses 21 through 22. We can be Jesus to them by praying, by caring, by sharing, and empowering them. I believe it's how we, as believers, can stay outwardly focused, but also, as a church, how we can be outwardly focused. I believe today that we can be praying for people. I hope right now there's somebody on your heart and mind that you're praying for. If there isn't, there should be. Shake your head yes. There should be somebody right now. For some of us, it might be 10 or 15, 20. If you really sit down and start thinking about it. But I hope there's one that's just really on your heart and mind because they're weary and they're scattered. And they need to be prayed for. That very same person that you're praying for, remember, Jesus said that, and I think this is very important for us to get. Jesus said, okay, we see the problem. We need to pray that the Lord would send forth laborers. Jesus is simply saying, take action. The very person you're praying for, thinking of right now, you need to take action. Sometime this week, you need to demonstrate to that individual that you care. You know how good it is for somebody to just let you know that I care? What's happening in your life this week? Are you doing okay? Is there anything I can do to help you? Would you like to get a cup of coffee with me? Maybe share a donut? Good stuff. Hey, I'm going fishing this weekend. Want to go fishing? I'm going to Hobby Lobby. I got a van. You want to go? Maybe it's Velma's or the Jug Rock or McDonald's for fries. Or maybe just to sit next to them and say, I care. Are you doing okay? Anybody believe that's difficult? Shouldn't be. Also this week, I want to demonstrate that you care, but share. Now, this isn't always necessarily about sharing the gospel of Jesus. Sometimes it's just the sharing part of getting involved in their life. Remember when I said, why did I go through this? Why did I have to walk this road? Maybe that's your opportunity to say, I remember when I dealt with. Now, don't say, I know what you're feeling, because you really probably don't. Everybody's made a little different. But you can say, I remember when I walked the road similar to this. And this is what God did. That's shifting. Involved in their life. And sometimes it's just maybe to sit there and cry because of the pain and the anguish that they're going through. That's sharing with them. Many times when we come to this empower thing, we how do I empower people? How? I tell you, if they know that you're praying for them, you've sat down at McDonald's and shared a large fry and a Diet Coke, and you're asking them, how are you doing? Can I help you in any way? They'll be a whole lot more empowered when they leave than when they came. And I believe that's doable. Your prayer, your care, your share, your empower may be different. And it will be for every individual. But that's how Jesus ministered. That's what He came to do. I believe that's something that we can do personally and we can do as a church. And in doing so, we will be an outward-focused church because we are getting involved in the lives of others. And I can clearly share with you today that Jesus wants to be involved in the lives of others. In fact, as you already know, He wants to be involved in your life. Right here, right now. Let's stand together this morning. I'm going to ask Lana to come to the piano this morning and just play softly. I want us to just kind of ponder I dumped a lot of stuff on you this morning. But the truth is, church, the world needs us. And this might be weighty, but the world needs you. Somebody out there today needs you to be praying for them, to be caring about them, to be sharing with them, to be empowering them. I wonder this morning how many of us would just be kind of willing to say, Lord, I need help to be outwardly focused. I need you to come, and you can ask right where you're standing this morning, Lord, I need you to come and help me so that I can be praying and caring and sharing and empowering in the lives of others. Maybe some of you want to say, Lord, I really need help with that. You might want to step out to an altar of prayer and say, Lord, here I am. Use me. And the truth is, this morning, you might even feel like one of those outsiders this morning. You don't really know what a relationship with the Father is, and what it means to be saved, or to have hope beyond the moment. I want you to know that we care today, and we want to share in your life. And we want to empower you, and we want to encourage you today that Jesus is here, and He wants to be involved in your life. And so maybe you want to step out to an altar of prayer. Or maybe this morning we just need a moment to just think about all the things that we've thought about this morning. Wherever we are, Jesus will meet us there. I'm just going to pause for a moment. Dear precious Father, as we come to you this morning, you are so amazing and so awesome. We can't even begin to comprehend your beauty. But we know this morning that your word speaks to us about our care and our concern for those that are outside the walls of the church, that are outside a relationship with you. And so, Lord, I just ask that you would allow the Holy Spirit to settle in our heart and mind this morning and begin to stir us that we can be more like You and have a greater and a deeper passion for them. And that we'll commit today to pray and to care and to share and to empower the lives of others. You know us, Lord, and You know the people that we can influence, the people that are in our lives that we can touch and be Jesus to. Clearly open up opportunity, Lord, for us this week. Not that we want anybody to hurt, but help us to see the hurt, to see the weary, and to see the scattered. And then give us the passion to get involved. Help us, Lord, to touch lives. We ask in Your precious name. Amen. God bless you this morning. The Lord wants to do great things in your life and wants to do great things through your life. All would you allow Him this morning? God bless you. You're dismissed.